first Rashi I want to talk about is Yisrael seeing Moshe spending the entire day with Am Yisrael. So first of all, I want to share, before I even tell you Rashi, a very famous Rav Amital story that he would tell us every Parshas Yisrael about a Hasidish Rebbe who would spend every night meeting with each of his Hasidim. And one Hasid would come in and say, Rebbe, my wife, she needs a Refuah Shleima. Rav Amital will tell us the story every year. She needs a Refuah Shleima. So the Rebbe would say, oh, your wife needs a Refuah Shleima. Give tzedakah, say Tehillim, learn Maseches Ksuvos, and your wife will have a Refuah Shleima. Then the next chassid came in and said, Rebbe, my daughter, she needs a shidduch. Oh, your daughter needs a shidduch. Give tzedakah, say Tehillim, learn Maseches Kiddushin, she'll have a shidduch. The next chassid came and said, Rebbe, I need a parnasa, I need living. Oh, you need a parnasa, say Tehillim, give tzedakah, learn Bava Metzia. Finally, it was 2:30 at night. The Rebbe's walking home, he's exhausted, he's walking home with the shamish, and a chassid comes blurting in, I have to speak to the Rebbe. That's one of Rav Amital's famous stories. So the shamish says, go away, the Rebbe's already tired, it's too late. Okay? So the Rebbe says, let him come in. So the chassid comes in and says, Rebbe, my cow has an ear-splitting headache. What am I going to do about my cow's headache? So the Rebbe says, oh, your cow has a headache. You should give tzedakah, learn Tehillim, learn some Mishnayos, I don't know, maybe Maseches Para, and your cow will have a Refuah Shleima. So the shamish turns to the Rebbe and says, I understand you have to help out the person whose wife needs a Refuah Shleima, the one whose daughter needs a Shidduch, the cow with Parnasa, the person needs Parnasa. You have nothing better to do at 2:30 in the morning, 3 in the morning, to help this guy solve his cow's headache? So the Rebbe says, you don't understand. He didn't want to talk about his cow. He wanted to spend time talking with me. The cow is just a pretense. Sometimes people want time with you, a friend, sometimes someone, a younger brother, a younger sibling. Two nights ago, I came home, and my son said, Abba, I miss you, I want to spend time with you. So we watched Super Bowl commercials, and top 10 funniest Super Bowl. I just wanted to spend time, stick my little phone, we sat in the bed, we watched, and we were laughing and having a good, just have to find time to spend with people sometimes. And sometimes they know how to ask. Baruch Hashem, my son knew how to ask. Sometimes people don't know how to ask, but you have to be sensitive to when people want to spend time with you. So that's the story of Amital would tell us Parshas Yisroel, because that's what Moshe was doing. Moshe was spending all day long answering their questions. What questions did they have? It's before Har Sinai, at least. It's Machlok is when this happened, but according to the Sefer, it happens before Har Sinai. They just were afraid. They'd just been released from Mitzrayim. They were about to receive the Torah. They wanted to talk with Moshe about religion, about their future. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? So Yisroel sees this. And Moshe's sitting there, listening to each person, Vayamor Amal Moshe min HaBoker Ad Haref. So what is Yisrael? So you listen to Rashi. Yoshev Kimelach. He sits there like a king. The Kulam Omdim, and everyone's standing in front of him. Vayamor Amal Moshe. This is Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'huksha davar liYisrael. And this was difficult for Yisrael to see. Shahay mezalzel b'chvodin shal Yisrael. It was disrespectful for the Jewish people for Moshe to be sitting there like a prima donna. Everyone to be standing in front of Moshe. Sits there next. Yisrael was upset. And he chastises Moshe, why are you sitting there? This is very, very strange. What do we normally typically associate with Moshe? What was Moshe's greatest trait?
Anava.
Anava, humility. Vish Moshe, anav me out. He doesn't want to be the leader. He doesn't want to go and release the Jews from Mitzrayim because I don't speak properly. Who am I? Maybe someone else. All of a sudden, Moshe's arrogant. Moshe's cocky. Moshe's sitting there like a melech. What's happening? So the answer is, it's easy to be an anav when you're thinking about yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's harder to be an anav when you're dealing with people. Oh yes, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not the perfect human being. Hashem is so incredible, and I'm so infinite, and I'm so limited and flawed. Can you translate humility into interpersonal relationships? Can you translate humility when you speak to people? Some people are very humble in theory. But when they deal with people that they deem lesser than them, and they become a little bit condescending and a little bit arrogant. So Moshe until now has been humble when he thinks about his own profile, his own talent. Am I the perfect person? Maybe Avraham was greater than me. Maybe Yaakov. That's easy to have humility. What about when he's dealing with commoners, his generation, his people? Is he able to display the same level of humility? So it's a question of A, not just having an attitudinal humility, but an interpersonal humility, being able to treat people with respect and humility. Number one, not just in theory, but when you look at people that may have suffering, or may have flaws, that's where they're coming to Moshe. Number three, when you're a Rebbe. Until now, Moshe hasn't been a Rebbe. Moshe's been dealing with this historical mission to face off against Mitzrayim being sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happens when you're put into a point of hierarchy and now you have to teach people and you have to be a moral authority? Are you able to do it with humility? That's not so easy. This is an important stage in Moshe's evolution as a humble person. And he's taught that, of all people, from his father-in-law. And I've told you so many times, you can learn from many people in life. You'll all have professors, you'll all have friends over the next couple of years. Learn to find moral traits in people and admire them and try to mimic them, because you can find moral guidance and you can find be a better person the more that you... Sometimes people ask me, how do I become a better person? The answer is find people that have that trait, hang out with them, and that trait will become contagious. So if you want to improve in Midah, you can read books, you can think about it. The best way to improve in Midah is to locate people that have that trait and interact with them, and you'll find that the trait just rubs off on you. Okay, so that's an interesting Rashi in the beginning of the Parsha about Yisrael watching Moshe acting in a way that we find inconsistent with our profile of Moshe, but this is part of Moshe's growth. Number one. Number two, a very famous Maharal, Rav Amital, would tell us every year. The end of the Parsha says, if you build a Mizbeach of stone, you shouldn't build it with a sword, because a sword is associated with death and murder. You should build it with... Anyone know how they cut the stone in the Beis HaMikdash?
The worm.
The worm. Anyone know what the worm was called?
Shamir
worm. Special worm that cut through stone. But that's very strange that the Torah would describe a mitzvah, which is obligatory, with the word im. You have a choice to build a Mizbeach? You have to build a Mizbeach. So this is a very famous medrash of Rabbi Yishmael with a very famous commentary of the Maharal. So let's first see what Rabbi Yishmael said and then see what the Maharal said. You know who the Maharal was? What was his last name? Blowy. Blowy. He was the chief rabbi of Prague. He's a very, very famous, famous philosopher. Well, he was one of the great rabbis of our Masara. In fact, if you go to Prague today, his grave is still a national monument. People visit his grave, not just Jews. He is known. Who are the two most famous rabbis of Prague? The Maharal? Tzitzis Yantif, a little less famous, but the other one, Nolde Behuda, V'chaskol Endo. These were the three or four most, if you go to the cemetery, you'll find. So, these are, actually, I think the Tzitzis Yantif is buried in Krakow, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's actually buried in Krakow. So the Maharal comments on Rabbi Yishmael. Let's first hear what Rabbi Yishmael says, of course, quoted by Rashi. The Maharal wrote a Sefer on Rashi, a very famous Sefer on Rashi, called the Gur Aryeh. So that's his famous Sefer on Rashi, because his name was Yehuda. So Yehuda's bracha in Vayechi is Aryeh, he's a lion. So Gur Aryeh means a lion, his name was Yehuda. So Rabbi Yishmael said in the Medrash, which Rashi quotes, there are three mitzvos in the Torah which are obligatory, but the Torah describes them as being voluntary. Im. Anyone know where else? If you build a Mizbeach of Avanim. And you don't have a choice, but the Torah says, if you will. What else? Im kesef talves ami mishpatim. If you loan money, you don't have a choice. If a person asks you for a loan and he's an ani, if an ani sticks his hand out and you don't give him money, you're violating Isur Deraisa. You don't have to give him hundreds of dollars. You have to give something if you have money. If an ani puts his hand out and you say no and you have something, you're like not putting tefillin on. You're chayiv in the mitzvah at that moment. You give whatever you can. You give a quarter, you can give, you don't have to give large sums. Give whatever you can. So you don't have a choice if an ani needs a tzedakah or needs a halva. Anyone know the third one? Daniel? Give you a hint. It's in Parshas Vayikra. If you bring a minchas bikurim, what was the first carbon mincha brought in the Mizbeach every year? The first mincha, of the first new crop. The Omer. The Omer was brought on the 16th of Nisan. If you bring a minchas bikurim, bikurim means first. Well, you have a choice to bring a carbon Omer? You don't have a choice. So Rabbi Shmuel said there are three ims in the Torah that you don't have a choice. They sound voluntary, but they're obligatory. So the Maharal says, well, if they're obligatory, why does the Torah try to fake us out? Why write the word im about something you don't have a choice about? Ephraim, if you come, you don't have a choice. You have to come to share. If you come to share... I grew up in Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, there's a lot of mafia. There's an old expression, don't tell, ask. Now when a mafioso asks you something, that's the equivalent of telling you something. You know, don't tell, ask. If he ever asks you, you better say yes. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu writing the word im? So the Maharal says, because Hashem wants to remind us that as much as Torah is obligatory, remember the image in Rashi this week, Hashem hoisted the mountain and lifted it over the Jewish people and said that if you don't accept the Torah, who knows the language of the Gemara, Rashi quotes? It's a different Gemara. Sham Tehei Kivaraschen. If you don't accept the Torah, I'll drop the mountain. It'll be buried under the mountain. So Torah has to be with a sense of obligation and commitment, but to make it real, the Maharal says, You have to try to find a personal choice that you choose and identify with it, and you have to make it as if you're choosing it and understand it. So three very important mitzvahs, b'nadam l'chaveiro, tzedaka, building a mizbeach and building a world of avodas Hashem. This week's parsha, building a mizbeach of stones. Bringing a karban that thanks Hashem. You have to thank Hashem. It's a mitzvah. The Omer is a way to thank Hashem for the successful crops. It's a mitzvah to thank Hashem. But if you thank Hashem because you're commanded to, it's very limp. If you give b'nadam l'chaveiro, when you see someone in the street and you help them out, when you do a chesed, because you have to, chas v'shalom, because you have to, because your heart cries, because your heart's broken when you see someone suffering, when you see families that are crushed. When you say thanks to Hashem in the morning because you have to, so of course mitzvos have to have a bedrock of obligation. But it's important to try to understand them and complement that level of obligation with a voluntary buy-in. So that's why the Torah describes three mitzvos that are obligatory with the preface of im. Im mizvach avanim, im kesef talveas ami, im takriv minchas bikurim. So this is Rashi quoting Rabbi Yishmael, describing the three ims, and the Maharal explaining Rabbi Yishmael, explaining Rashi. So those are two very, very quick Rashis on this week's Parsha. Number one, the Rashi about Moshe, watching the Jewish people sitting quietly. Yisro feels this isn't appropriate. One of the great changes of Rav Lichtenstein, if you ask me, one of the great revolutions of Rav Lichtenstein is the old-time Rabbanim from Europe, they comported themselves, you have to give me kavod. That's your responsibility. Not because they were egocentric, because they felt that by you respecting the Rebbe, I'm teaching you kavod atara. So let me give you a very famous story. Someone was a great, great man. He was a famous Rosh Yeshiva of Kerem B'Yavne. He was a founding Rosh Yeshiva. His name is Abchaim Goldberg Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He was the first Rosh Yeshiva of the Hasdei Yeshiva. So he came from that school. Has anyone heard of Rav Huttner? Rav Huttner was one of Rav Aaron's Rebbes. He learned in Slobodka on the Yeshiva in Europe. He came from that school. That you have to show respect to the Rebbe, because by respecting a human version of Torah, you learn to respect Torah itself. So Rav Chaim Goldberg once asked a boy in the middle of Shir Klali to go get him a cup of water. So the boy in front of 400 boys brought a pitcher and a cup and put it in front of Rav Goldberg. He waited for the boy to sit down, and he said, now come up and pour it for me. Now, I would never do that. I was trained by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Very meek, very humble. Don't try to impose yourself. But the people that did that were not doing it out of personal condescension or personal arrogance. They felt like it's the job of the Rebbe to solicit your... Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Amital felt that with a new era, what was necessary for that era in 1970 and 1980 was that Rabbanim should be more low-keyed. So that's why the Rabbanim here don't dress in hats and jackets, and that's why the Rabbanim here don't sit in the front. You know what I mean? There's a whole style. And that's what Rashi was, at least Yisro, was telling Moshe. You shouldn't be sitting there while Am Yisrael passes by one. You should be standing, you should be going, you should be soliciting them, seeking them out. So this is a very important stage in Moshe's developing humility. He's humble in Shmos when he's talking to Hashem. Can you be humble when you're talking to people with weaknesses? He's humble in Shmos when he's thinking about himself. Can you be humble when you're teaching people Torah? Number one. Number two, there are three mitzvahs in the Torah that are obligatory, but are prefaced with the word im. Number one, building a mizbeach. Number two, chesed, loaning money. Number three, offering a gratitude, a sacrifice of gratitude, a korban omer. Rabbi Shmuel says, even though the word im occurs, they're not voluntary, they're obligatory. The Maharal explained, even though they're obligatory, the goal in religion is to accept obligation, but to make it personal by understanding it. And even as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu never commanded it, that's what religious maturity is. You're in the process of moving along that line. When you're young, you serve God because you feel you have to. You don't want to. You don't understand it. You're not thrilled to. As I've told you so often, at one point in your life, one day turns around. When you're young, what's your favorite day? The day after Yom Kippur. Wow, I don't have to do that again. And then you go through a whole year, and then Purim time comes, you get a little jittery, and Tisha B'Av, oh no, it's Slichas. And what's your worst day of the year? Erev Yom Kippur. When you get older, it switches. My favorite day of the year is Erev Yom Kippur. Wow, I don't have to eat. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to be petty. I don't have to be angry. I can just taste what Olam Haba is without sleep, without food for 24 hours. My worst day of the year is Matzah Yom Kippur. I have to go back to this world that pulls me down. I promise you it happens. Religion becomes something you're excited to do. And the more that you learn, and the more that you study, and the more that you meet people that understand it and explain it to you, all of a sudden, I know I have to. But even if I didn't have to, I want to. I could care less. I talked to the boys the other day. I say this all the time. If you had a dream tonight, Hashem came and told you 24 hours, you could eat whatever you wanted, touch whatever you wanted, drink whatever you do whatever you'd like, without any schar ve'onesh, no reward and punishment, what would you do? 24 hours furlough. So when you're young, you'd say, of course, I want to eat, I want to sell my oats, I want to get around. When you get older, you say, I'm not an Oved Hashem because of schar ve'onesh. I know what my life would be like without content, without meaning, without values. And I want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I want a life of principle, I want a life of purpose, I want a life of ideals. So the Maharal says, that's why Hashem says, there are certain mitzvahs that are obligatory, but I want you to see them as if they're optional. In Mizbach HaVadim Tassali. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Have a great Shabbos, everyone. Have a great Shabbos. Ari, good Shabbos. Ephraim, good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.